Radio.
Hey, it's Mike Robb. The new NBC binge-worthy series Aquarius has a lot of tough roles to fill, including that of Charles Manson. And the actor that stepped up and picked up that role talks about exactly why he welcomed the challenge. In the meantime, over on HBO, still a lot of buzz about their production of Bessie. Actor Brian Greenberg talks about why this is one particular TV event you shouldn't miss. Let's get to the point.
This is The Point, The Point Radio. Get The Point Radio.
In a few days, NBC kicks off their event series Aquarius, with David Duchovny starring as a hardened FBI agent tackling the counterculture of the 60s, and including in that counterculture, of course, is Charles Manson. Played by actor Geffen Anthony, who told me what drew him to such a role.
I think my first and strongest reaction was to reading the script on a Saturday morning back in London last year. Was I felt a really strong reaction to the authenticity of the dialogue that had been written for the Manson character and the characters around him in that world. I was aware somewhat of that era of history in LA and US history, but it felt John's dialogue felt really authentic to me, and so it made me want to dig deeper into understanding that the late 60s, and I think that excitement that they could have the courage to make a show about sort of such sensitive subject matter with authenticity excited me.
Did he have to do a lot of research here?
When I first got the script, I was aware that the process of being cast would probably be about a month or maybe a bit longer, so all the while I started to read the biographies that are available. One of the useful things about playing such a notorious man is that there's a wealth of information out there, and I could have almost got sort of snowed under with reading and watching, but it really became about listening to his voice. Was a very helpful thing that I did. There's an interview that he did with a studio engineer in 1967, from before he was a part of the crimes and imprisoned, that I found very useful to take me back to the point in the story, of the history rather, that our stories take place. So, yeah, it was sort of close listening to his voice. Also, we got, you know, once I was into the role, we got like a college reading list from our showrunner, John McNamara, who gave us a big old list of books and films and music to listen to, which was probably the most fun bit. Actually, all of it was fascinating, but the music of the era is just fantastic to get your head into. So.
Okay, so among all the things that he researched, did he learn anything?
I think that having done the research that I did, it increasingly I understood why that might have been the case. I don't claim to know if there was the silver bullet of understanding why these young women were drawn to him, but I think there are a few key factors. One of the few books that Manson says he has read is How to Make Friends and Influence People. That is something he read in prison. He claims to listen to pimps in prison as a way of understanding how they got their way with presumably mostly women, but basically controlled people for their own ends. That was, he describes in the biography, in his own words, as his kind of schooling in a way. So he obviously was actively sort of engaging in how to influence other people way before any of the crimes took place. And then he was a man who was let out of prison at a time when there was a lot of liberation in the air with around young people, and a lot of young impressionable minds out and about meeting new people with this feeling of liberation. So yeah, I think it was a kind of a perfect cocktail of circumstance, really.
Were there certain parts here that he picked up that helped more than others?
The main thing that I did was to learn about his how he was brought up, how he grew up, actually. He grew, rather than being brought up, how he grew up in institutions around the country, very prison-like institutions throughout his life, and educating myself about how a human being, born as a human being, can get to a position in their life where they are viewed so publicly as some kind of almost a mythological villain, really. Mm-hmm. So for me, it was really important to go back and try and understand as much as possible about and learn what factually or anecdotally what he what his life was like, and there are some surprises in there. I mean, anyone who reads this, I mean, there's lots of information out there, but the biography is about his, you know, his life up until the age of 21. I found fascinating, and that no doubt helped me be able to justify the actions as any actor is sort of obliged to do. And then the sort of within our, you know, we are telling a fictionalized version of the latest.
New episodes of Aquarius air every Thursday on NBC, or you can binge watch the entire season right now. Just go to NBC.com. Comic sales and a shock for Marvel. We'll talk about that in the latest in pop culture. Even if you're not following the Marvel Secret Wars event, you probably are curious as to what the Marvel Universe will look like when the entire thing is over with later in the summer. According to sources at Marvel, events will be jumping in time 8 months in all the titles, which will put new situations and new characters in the forefront when everything winds down by the end of the summer. There's still a question of which titles will still exist after Secret Wars. In the meantime, on Tumblr, Brian Bendis has announced that Uncanny X-Men number 600 that was set to hit stores this month has been pushed back to October to fall after the end of Secret Wars. Astrophysicist and celebrated TV star Neil deGrasse Tyson will help host a marathon of Quantum Leap episodes this weekend. It'll be on Cozy TV beginning at 6 a.m. on Memorial Day. It'll kick off regular showings of the series, which will air every Sunday for 4 hours in June. Fox may not want the Mindy Project, but Hulu certainly does. The streaming service is bringing the show on for a 26-episode season order, which is the largest for the show yet. That'll bring the number of completed episodes up to the point where it is ready to be syndicated sometime in about 2017. The Mindy Hulu episode should premiere later this year. Premiere date will be announced sometime in the next few weeks. Creator David Lynch and Showtime have made up, and it looks like the Twin Peaks reboot is back on schedule. In fact, it looks like there might even be more than he originally announced 9 hours. At least that's what Lynch hinted to over the weekend on Twitter, as well as other sources. When we'll see the show is the next question to be answered. Originally it was scheduled for later this year until the two parted ways back in April due to various issues. Look for an announcement by Lynch and Showtime as to when the show will get back on schedule, more than likely sometime in the next few weeks. The Power of the Force just continues in comic stores. In April, there was an almost 20% growth when you compare it to the same month in 2014. And graphic novels had a pretty good month, too, as well. Interestingly enough, a really weird absence of Marvel titles in the top 10. Wait till you hear how that plays out. We'll run down the entire top 10 graphic novels and comics coming up in just a little bit. The Point, The Point. Even before the first airing, there's been a lot of buzz on the HBO original movie Bessie. The story of a iconic blues singer, Bessie Smith, starring and produced by Queen Latifah. Among the cast is actor Brian Greenberg, who talked to me about the role and about the fact that even though both his parents came from a psychology background, he chose acting, and I asked why.
I don't know, man. I guess it's maybe the common interest in human behavior and just, you know, analyzing human behavior. I think that's the similarities between it. But my dad was a huge film buff, and, you know, we used to always watch movies together, and, you know, I was hooked at a young age. I just kind of always knew when I was about 10 years old that I wanted to be an actor.
When it comes to Bessie, Brian agrees that the buzz is well-deserved.
The story is Bessie. It's about Bessie Smith, who was the mother of the blues. And this the time was the 1920s and 30s. And she was she had a really hard life, but a really interesting life. And I think that's the blues came out of her because she lived it. And, you know, through the Depression. And she was a hard drinking. She fought. She had a husband, a boyfriend, and a mistress all at the same time. And you know, she was a really strong black woman in America. And that wasn't the most popular thing to be at that time. And she made no apologies for how she lived her life. And I think Dee Reese, the writer director of Bessie, did an amazing job and a very artistic job in portraying her life. And Queen Latifah is unbelievable in this movie. She produced it too, that a lot of people don't know. She took 22 years to develop this project, and she knocked it out of the park. And I'm really proud to be part of it. I play John Hammond, who is a famous music producer who discovered her in the later years of her life and brought her music to the mainstream.
Now, Brian began his career not even two decades ago in movies and television. So I was curious, with all the changes over just, well, the past 5 years, what he thinks the opportunities are now for actors like himself.
I think it's gotten a lot more interesting as an actor. I think there's more venues to play on. Before, it was just like, you know, TVs and network television and movies, and now it's like the network cable and movies and streaming, and I just think it's great. And there's as an audience, I mean, you can pick what show is perfect for you instead of a watered-down version that's kind of perfect for everybody or acceptable for everybody. Now you can find specific shows that really cater to you. And as an actor, you can jump into a lot of different worlds and roles, and I think you just kind of have to be open to it and not really worry about the medium, if it's a movie or if it's an indie or if it's a studio film or a network or a cable or streaming. I think you just have to look at the writing and the role, and if it's good, it will find an audience, and that's, you know, so you kind of have to take the medium out of it. That's the way I look at it now.
So after Bessie, what's next?
A couple movies that are independent films that are premiering this summer. One's called It's Already Tomorrow in Hong Kong. That'll be at the LA Film Festival premiering there. I also have another movie called Flock of Dudes premiering at the LA Film Festival. I'm a musician, and I just finished my third album, and that's coming out May 26th. It's called Everything Changes. It'll be available on iTunes, Spotify. And, yeah, you know, just keep him busy, man. Keep him busy.
You can also catch Brian in the HBO production of Bessie, the story of singer Bessie Smith, running all this month on HBO. See it on demand right now at HBO Now.
The point.
After a pretty quiet and almost disappointing start to 2015, April was a blockbuster in the comic book stores. 19.75% growth over where we stood in April of 2014, and that gives us a 15% growth over 2014 overall so far in this year. Convergence and Star Wars certainly did the trick, but here's something interesting. For the very first time, maybe even ever, there is no comic featuring a Marvel Comics character in the top 10 best-selling comics. You'll see. Let's check out the list here. The top 10 best-selling comics in April start at number 10 with Princess Leia, number 3. At number 9, Convergence, number 4. At number 8, The Last Padawan, number 1. At number 7, Convergence, number 3. At number 6, Convergence, number 2 from DC. At number 5, Darth Vader, number 4. At number 4, Batman, number 40. At number 3, Convergence, number 1. Convergence 0 came in as the second best-selling comic of the month. And the number 1 bestseller in comics stores in April, Star Wars number 4 from Marvel. That does it for the podcast. We're back one more time before the holiday weekend with actress Deborah Messing and her catch up on what's been going on with the Mysteries of Laura. All that and more on websites like ComicMix.com, MichaelDavisWorld.com, GetThePointRadio.com, and of course the iTunes podcast directory. Keep pace with us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram under The Point Radio, and we'll see you right back here in a few days.